إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. This afternoon, بإذن الله تعالى, we want to do one last review, practice reading from the book. And it is hoped that this process or procedure of review should be continued, even though we won't be reading from the book probably anymore. I mean, it's unlikely that we will read from the book anymore as we go on, inshallah, to the next book. But it's still good for you to practice and review from your foundation, so that whatever areas there may still be some weakness or shortcoming or lacking, that you will make it up as we go along. Even as we go on to the next book, you should still try to practice the foundation, the fundamentals, until you perfect them, all of them, because those things are very important. So, you know, what we've covered a lot of things. We covered all of the letters of the alphabet, and we covered, you know, all of the rules related to reading, you know, the pronunciation of the vowels, short vowels and long vowels and diphthong and sukun and shadda and other things. That all of these are fundamental foundations, and it's important that you master all of them. So, alhamdulillah, we spent a good time in reviewing those things, and I think by now most of it we should have grasped completely, and hopefully, you know, we are able to read and recognize and pronounce all the letters and the vowel sounds and everything that's necessary for reading well at this point. However, to constantly review is any part of the process of learning, that whatever you learn, you have to review it. In this way, you will perfect what you have and prepare yourself, you know, for what is to come. So today, inshallah, we're going to do our last few chapters of review just for practice reading. Like we normally do, we'll go through the chapter, each of those chapters that we're going to review. If there's any questions about anything related to the letters that we're going to cover, mainly we're going to deal with Hamza. A number of different chapters dealing with Hamza. And a couple of other letters. And then after that, inshallah, we are going to do some practice reading from the next book that we're going to take. Okay, we're going to do some practice reading as a preview of what we're going to be doing in the next level. We're not going to start the next level immediately, but we want to at least begin to prepare ourselves for it in terms of becoming familiar with the book and the system that's used in that book, which is a little bit different from what we have been doing in our book now. Okay, so we're going to do some practice reading from that book. I just made some copies of the first couple of pages from the first lesson of the Medina Book 1 that we'll give out. Inshallah, we're going to do some practice reading from that. After we do our last review from this book, we're going to do that preview of the next book. And then after that, we're going to go over some of the rules of Tajweed that we started in the previous class, Noon, Sakin, and Tanween. Today we want to look at the rules for Izhar. We said that there are four rules for Noon, Sakin, and Tanween. We covered one of them previously, Iqlab. When the Noon, Sakin, and Tanween is followed by Ba, it's transformed into a Meme. We're going to talk about that a little bit again today, and then we're going to go to the next rule, which is Izhar. And there are six letters of Izhar, those are the letters of the throat. And whenever one of those letters follow a Noon, Sakin, or Tanween, you pronounce the Noon clearly, distinctly, without any nasal sound. So we're going to look at that today and look at some examples of that. And then, inshallah, we'll go over Surah from the Quran. Hopefully, we have enough time to do all of this. Hopefully, inshallah. Alright, so let's start with, let's begin to read Arabic. We want to start from lesson 30 and read, you know, the next few lessons. And this will be the last time, inshallah, that we'll be reading from this book. But again, like I said, it's hoped that you will continue to practice reading from it. Okay, so we're going to start from lesson 30. which is on page 60. Huh? Well, I made some copies of a couple of pages from the Medina Book 1, which is the next level, level 2 book. Inshallah, we're going to preview that book. We're going to look at it. We're going to look at that book, inshallah, today, just so that we can see how it works and how it functions and start getting familiar with it. Okay, so we want to read today from lesson number 30, page 60, which is dealing with Hamza, the glottal stop without a vowel. We said that the letter Hamza, it is a consonant, and it can be written on various seats. It can be written with Aleph as a seat, with Waw as a seat, with Ya as a seat, or it can be written on the line without any seat. And it can be written, like any other consonant, with any one of the vowels, Fatha, Kasra, or Dhamma, which also can be elongated, or it can be written with a sukun if it doesn't have a vowel. If a consonant doesn't have a vowel, it's written with sukun. So likewise, Hamza, it can be written with the sukun if it doesn't have a vowel. So the first lesson we want to look at is Hamza when it does not have a vowel. Yani when Hamza has a sukun. Okay, so we're going to look at this lesson briefly and then go on to the next lesson. And since in this particular case, Hamza, when it does not have a vowel, when it has a sukun, that's on page 60, lesson 30, page 60. When Hamza doesn't have a vowel, we said that Hamza is pronounced like the sound of its vowel. So if it doesn't have a vowel, how do we pronounce it? We said Hamza is pronounced like the sound of its vowel. If it has a fatha, you say ah. If it has a dhamma, you say oh. If it has a kasra, you say a. But what if it has no vowel? How do you pronounce the Hamza then? Naam. You pronounce it as Aleph. Okay, what I want to say here is that remember, this is a very important point that we went over many times, and it's important because a lot of people miss this point. It's fundamental, but a lot of people who have advanced, they miss this point. The difference between Hamza and Aleph. First thing, Hamza is a consonant of the Arabic alphabet, and Aleph is not a consonant. Aleph is a letter of the alphabet, but it's not a consonant. It never has a vowel of its own. It's a letter. You can write it as a letter, meaning it can be a letter that follows a fatha, elongating the fatha, making it long. Making the fatha long. It's a letter that elongates the fatha. Or it can be written also as a seat for Hamza. The same way Waw and Ya can be written as a seat for Hamza. But when Aleph or Waw or Ya is written as a seat for Hamza, it doesn't count. We don't read it. We don't pronounce it. We don't recognize it. It's just a seat. It has no meaning in terms of the meaning of the word. It has no function in terms of the pronunciation of the word. We don't pronounce Aleph or Waw or Ya when it's a seat for Hamza. It's just a seat. That's it. Okay? So, if we have an Aleph with a Hamza on it, this means that the letter, that the consonant that we're going to read here is going to be the Hamza with whatever vowel it has. If it has a fatha, then we're going to read it as a. If it has a kasra, then we're going to read it as e. If it has a dhamma, we're going to read it as o. If it has no vowel, if the Hamza has no vowel, do we read the Aleph then? The Aleph is never read when it's a seat for Hamza. It's never read. The same as Waw or Ya, it's never read. If we have this Hamza written on Waw, or we have this Hamza written on Ya, then these seats for the Hamza, whether it's Aleph, or Waw, or Ya, do not count. We don't read them, we don't pronounce them, we don't consider them. It's just a seat. Okay, so now let's go back to my original question. If we have a Hamza, as in this case here, and it's written on top of an Aleph, could be written on top of a Waw, it could be written on top of a Ya, it doesn't matter. But in this case, we're saying it's written on top of an Aleph, right? A Hamza written on Aleph with no vowel. Sukun, no vowel. How do we pronounce the Hamza? Go back to my same question again. How do we pronounce the Hamza? Now. Let's say, for example, we have a word here. This is a real word, right? Ra, fatta, hamza, sukoon, seen, tanween, dhammatain. Huh? Ra-a-sun. Okay, how do we pronounce this? How do we pronounce that? Huh? Ra-a-sun. So what's the difference? What's the difference between this one and this one? In terms of the way it sounds when we read it, how do we read it differently? Huh? Well, there's a sukun, we stop. Abrupt stop. Uh-huh. Ra-sun. Okay. The point I'm trying to bring out, if it has a vowel, we're going to pronounce the vowel. We're going to say ra-a-sun. 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 But if it has no vowel, it's just a stop. Ra-sun. Because hamza is a glottal stop. If it has a vowel, you pronounce it like the sound of its vowel. I mean, you stop in the middle of the word, there's a break in the word. It's not a long break, but there's a break because it's a stop. You stop and then pronounce its vowel. But if there's no vowel, you stop and then you keep reading. You just stop. It's just a stop. It doesn't have any sound. It's just ra-sun. It doesn't have any sound if there's no vowel. Hamza is pronounced like the sound of its vowel. If it doesn't have a vowel, it doesn't have a sound. It's just a stop. It's a glottal stop. Hamza is a glottal stop. Okay? So, alhamdulillah, we took a few minutes to deal with that. But in any case, hopefully it's clear now. Hamza is a glottal stop. It's a consonant of the alphabet. It's a consonant. It can take a vowel or it can have sukoon. If it has a vowel, it's pronounced like the sound of its vowel. It's a stop and then pronouncing the vowel. You say, ra-asun, ra-asun, ra-asun. But if it's no vowel, it's just ra-sun. With no vowel sound. Okay, it's a glottal stop. If it has no vowel, it's just a stop. It's just a stop. A short stop, we don't break the word completely, but just a little abrupt stop and keep going. Ra-sun, ka-sun. No, it's the rule of the language. In Arabic language, hamza is a glottal stop. You stop on a word that has a hamza and then pronounce its vowel. If it has no vowel, you stop on it and then just keep reading, whatever comes after it. Alright? Alright. So, in this lesson, we're talking about hamza when it does not have a vowel. So, it's going to have a sukoon. If it has a vowel, we pronounce the vowel. If it doesn't have a vowel, we just make it a stop and then keep on reading the word. Okay? So, we're on page 60, lesson number 30. Line number one. Okay, line number one. Look at the book. Look at the letters. Look at the vowels. Pay attention to short and long vowels and diphthongs and shadda and everything like that. Okay? And repeat after me. Ra-sun. Ya-ti. Ya-kulu. Line two. Ba-sun. Ka-sun. Fa-ti. Line number three. Inna ya'juja. Wa ma'juja. Inna ya'juja. Wa ma'juja. طيب page 61 line 4 كدعبي مأواه فأر مأكل. Notice the last word on line 4 is a meme with a fatha followed by an alif, right? An alif elongates fatha, right? But we didn't pronounce it as a long vowel. Why? Huh? Because it has sukoon. That's part of the answer. Again, the last word on line 4, I'm going to come right back to you. Last word on line 4 begins with a meme, with a fatha followed by an alif. An alif elongates fatha. Why did we not pronounce it as a long vowel, Ya Mustafa? Because the alif here is not elongation of the fatha. It's not being used here as a vowel. It's being used here as a what? A seat for hamza. In which case it doesn't count. It doesn't count. It's as though it's not there. What we're reading? We're reading the hamza and its vowel. It doesn't have a vowel, so it's a stop. It's a short vowel. Mim fatha, no elongation. Hamza with sukoon, stop. Okay, so we're reading it. Ma'kalun. Ma'kalun. No long vowel, because that aleph is not a long vowel here. It's not being used as a vowel. Aleph can either be used as a long vowel, elongating fatha, or a seat for Hamza. In this case, it's a seat for Hamza, so it's not elongation. That's the point that I want to make. Just try to pay attention to that. Okay, line number 5. Kulla yawmin. Kulla yawmin. Huwa fi sha'nin. Kulla yawmin. Huwa fi sha'nin. Line number 6. Mala'tu. Here, just in case, there should be a fatha vowel written over the second letter. After the meem, fatha, should be that lam, aleph, the lam has a fatha that's not written there. Okay, that lam has a fatha that is not in the printed book. Okay, it should be ma, la. The aleph is a seat for hamza with sukoon, which is a stop, and then ta with dhamma. Okay? So the first letter is meem with fatha. The second letter is lam aleph. The lam should have a vowel. It's not written there. It's a fatha. And the aleph is a seat for hamza that has sukoon. So it should be pronounced mala'tu. Type. Second word, line 6. Bada'na. Again, bada'na. Nasha'tum. Again, nasha'tum. Type. Any question about Hamza with sukoon? Yes. Which word? Line 6? First word? Okay. That Hamza with sukoon is actually written on top of the aleph. It's written on top of the aleph. Okay? The lamb doesn't have any vowel written with it, but actually it's supposed to have a vowel. It should have a fatha there. It's not in the printed book. All right? The Hamza actually is the letter that's following the lam. It's written on top of an aleph before the ta with dhamma. Tayyib? Tayyib, lesson number 31, page 62. This is the letter thal. And we said that the letter thal is pronounced from the tongue, right? From the upper surface of the tip of the tongue, touching the edges of the bottom of the two front upper teeth. The bottom of the upper front, two front teeth. Okay, the upper surface of the tongue is touching the upper incisors, front two front teeth. And the tongue comes out a little bit and you say, the, the, the. This is the same sound in English that's represented by TH in this. These, those, as opposed to the TH in English that represents a different sound, like in thought, think, thought. That TH is a different letter, okay, in Arabic, that's the letter tha, tha. Okay, but this letter, what we're talking about here, is the same sound as English letter, TH in the English word, this, these. Those. That's the letter thal. Thal. It's pronounced from the upper surface of the tip of the tongue, touching the bottom of the two front upper teeth. This. That. These. Okay? So this is the letter here that we're looking at now, and we always got to distinguish this letter. Be careful to distinguish this letter from what? This letter here, thal, from the letter tha. 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 Okay, both of them is the makhraj, the place where they pronounce from is the same. The place where they pronounce from is the same. thought, this, these. They pronounce from the same makhraj, but they're two different sounds. In English, they're two different sounds, but they're written with TH. In Arabic, they're two different sounds, and they're two different letters. Each sound has its own letter. Okay, one of those sounds in English is represented by the letter tha, and the other sound is represented by the letter thal. And we're talking about here thal, naam. Wa alaykum as-salam. Okay, lesson 31, page 62, line number 1. Idh. Idha. Adhahu. Zakara. Zikrun. Naam, zikrun is what? Zikr, remembrance. Remembrance like zikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. Zikrun. Naam. Line number 2. Dhukurun. Dhu. Zatu. Zawata. Two long vowels of equal length. Zawata. Zawata. Now, line number 3. Zubabun. Short vowel, long vowel. Zubabun. Zarratun. Shadda on the ra. Zarratun. If we stop on this word, we will pronounce the ta marbuta as what? Huh? Zarraha? Zarrahu? What's the rule for tarmabuta? Tarmabuta has two ways to pronounce it. If you stop on it or if you continue reading. Okay, tarmabuta is a combination of two letters, right? Ta and ha. So sometimes it's pronounced like ta, sometimes it's pronounced like ha. It's pronounced like ta when? When you continue. It's pronounced like ha when? When you stop. So if you stop, you pronounce it like ha, and you don't pronounce any vowels with it. So we'll say, zarrah. Ha, ha. Zarrah. With no vowels. You don't pronounce any tanween, any vowel, short vowel, anything. Okay, whenever you have a tarmabuta, if you stop on it, you don't pronounce its vowels at all, and you pronounce the sound of the tarmabuta as ha. Zarrah. Okay, if you keep reading, you say zarratun. Tayyib, same line 3, third word. Zalilun. Short vowel, long vowel. Zalilun. Azillatun. Shed on the lamb. Hold it twice. Azillatun. If we stop on it, we pronounce the tarmabuta as ha with no vowels. Azillah. Azillah. You keep reading. Azillatun. Okay, page 63, line 4. Zakaytum. Shadda on the calf. Two calves. Zakaytum. Type the fatta on the calf with shadda, followed by ya with sukoon. What do we call that? Fatta, followed by ya with sukoon. What do we call that? A diphthong. Diphthong. What is a diphthong? Combination of what? Two vowels? What kind of vowels? Two different vowel sounds. A combination of two different vowel sounds. Fatta with ya. Fatta is one vowel sound. Ya is a different vowel sound that elongates kasra. Fatta with wow. Fatta is one vowel sound. Wow is a different vowel sound that elongates dhamma. So these are two different vowel sounds. If you have a fatta with ya, fatta with wow, that's a diphthong. A combination of two different vowel sounds that makes a new sound. Okay? A, o. Au. A, e. A, e. Okay, so we say, zakaytum. Zakaytum. Zunubun. Zunubun. Zunubun is the plural of zamb. What's a zamb? Zamb. Something we want to avoid at all costs. Huh? Dhamb, sin. Sin. Dhunub means sins. Dhunub. Okay? Dhunub is the plural of dhamb. Okay, last word, line four. Dhahaba. Dhahaba. Okay, here at the bottom of the page, just note the difference between the letter dal and the letter dal. They're both written the same, except one has a nuqta. And this is just in reading recognition that you have to distinguish between some of these letters that look exactly the same, except one has a dot or nuqta and the other one does not. Lesson number 32, page 64. The letter kha. The letter kha is one of the letters of the throat. And it's important that we begin to learn the letters of the throat. As we study tajwid, we've got to know what are the letters of the throat. Because when we do, for example, the rules of noon, sakin, and tanween, the letters of the throat, whenever they follow a noon with sukun or tanween, then there's a rule that's applied. Okay, the rule of idhar. So this is one of the letters of the throat. Whenever this letter or the other five letters that accompany it in the group of the letters of the throat follow a noon, sakin, or tanween, you pronounce the noon, sakin, or the noon of the tanween distinctly, clearly, without gunna, without any nasal sound. Means you pronounce the noon the way it's supposed to be pronounced normally. Not hiding it, not merging it, not changing it into a meme. Okay? So that's the next rule we're going to take. So I'm just reminding you, okay? These are the letters of the throat. What are they? Hamza and ha. You got to memorize them. Okay? The letters of the throat. On the bottom of the throat, there's hamza and there's ha. In the middle of the throat is ayn and ha. And on the top of the throat is ghain and kha. And this is the letter we're looking at right now, the letter kha. This is the bottom of the throat. This is the middle. And this is the top of the throat. These two letters on the top. Ghain and kha. Okay, one of the ways that can help you to remember these letters is that hamza and ha. Start with them, hamza and ha. And on top of them, what letters on top of hamza? Ayn. And we always try to distinguish between hamza and ayn, right? They look alike, and their sound, but their sound is different. The sound of hamza is different from ayn. And the letter that we want to distinguish here from each other is ha and ha. But both of them are H's, right? But they're different in their sound. And then on top of the ayn is this partner with a nukta, ghain. And on top of the ha is this partner with a nukta, kha. Okay, so try, if you remember hamza with ha, on top of the hamza and ha is ayn and ha. And on top of the ayin ha is ghain and kha. So if you try to remember like that, help you remember these six letters are the letters of the throat. These are the letters of the throat. Huruf al-halq. These are the letters of the throat. Six letters of the throat. These six letters are related to the rule of idhar. Throat letters. Six of them. We're going to talk about them today, inshallah. Okay, so the letter kha is pronounced from the throat. And it has a little scraping sound. It's different from gha, gha, ghain, gha. This one, kha, 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 from the throat. Okay, lesson 32, page 64, line 1. A-khun. Akhun. That's the word what? Akh. Yeah, we say akhi. But akhi means my brother. And akh means brother. Akhun, a brother. Akhun. Type, second word. Badakhun. Third word. With a shadda on the kha. Mukhun. Mukhun. Mukh. Ma fi mukh. Mukh. Means this up here in the head, the brain. The brain. Five, fourth word. Khubzun. Khubzun. What's khubz? Bread. Bread. That's something people eat every day. Khubz. Naam. Last word, line one. Ikhwatun. Ikhwatun. If we stop on this word, how would we pronounce it? Ikhwa. والها اخوه اخوه نعم which means it's the plural of اخ right so what's the meaning of اخوه brothers brothers اخ means brother اخوه means plural brothers huh Uh-huh. You say in the general what? Brothers? Ikhwa. Same. Yeah, the word, you mean, in other words, there's a difference between the word brother that's applicable to a Muslim who is your neighbor or a foreigner or somebody you don't know from anywhere. But he's your brother in Islam, right? And the brother who's your blood brother, from the same mother and father, is there a difference? Same word. There are two plurals for the word akh. One of them is ikhwa, and the other one is ikhwan. And some people say there's a difference between the two plurals, and Allah knows best if that is really a fact. But it might be a generality, but it's not absolute. There are some people who say there's a difference between those plurals and how they are used. There's a difference between them. But it's not absolute. It's a general application. In any case, both of them are the plural of akh. And they both can be used in both senses. I mean, either way. Masjid ikhwa. The masjid of the brothers. Brothers, yes. Ikhwa. Naam. Line 2. Ukhtun. Ukhtun, ukht is the plural, is the opposite of akh. What's the meaning of ukht? Sister. Ukhtun. Akhawatun. Akhawatun. Akhawatun is the plural of ukhtun. Ukht, sister. Akhawat, sisters. Khalilun. Khalilun. Khalil means what? A dear, close, special friend. Not just a regular friend. Closest of friends. Naam. Bakhila. Bakhila. Line 3. Khashiya. Khashiya. Dakhala. Dakhala. Yadkhulu. يدخلوا خالدون خالدون معلش that's خالد over there right this is how you pronounce his name خالد طيب page 65 line 4 أخلد خرج خيمة خيمة If you stop on that word, how would you pronounce it? Again? خيمة With ha on the end, right? خيمة Last word خيام Line 5 أخبار خبير Al-Khabir means what? Allah is Al-Alim Al-Khabir. Huh? Al-Alim Al-Khabir. The all-knowing, the all-aware. Khabir. Khardalun. Khardalun. Akhadha. أَخَذَ That means to take. أَخَذَ He took. أَخَذَ خُذْ هَذَا Take this. خُذْ هَذَا Take this. From أَخَذَ Five, line six. أُخْدُودٌ أُخْدُودٌ خُذْ That's the command form of أَخَذَ خُذْ Take. Take this. خُذ الكتاب. Take the book. خُذ. خُسْرَانٌ. بِخَيْرٍ بِخَيْرٍ What does that mean? Huh? Naam, good. بِخَيْرٍ أَنَا بِخَيْرٍ I am good, I am well. Literally it means good. خَيْر If somebody says, كَيْفَ حَالُكَ? You say, أَنَا بِخَيْرٍ That means I am well. Literally, I am good. As they say today, right? I'm good. I'm good. Right? That's what this means. No. Once he learns how to read, that's what we're going to start doing now. To know what you're reading, you have to do two things. Number one, you have to memorize the vocabulary words. Just like in English, you see a new word you don't know, what do? You ask somebody, right? Or you look it up in the dictionary. So you get you a good dictionary, you don't know a word, you look it up. You learn the meaning of the word, you have to memorize it now. Now I know the meaning of this word, you got to retain it, right? So once you learn the meaning of some words, when you start reading, you see that word, I know what that means. That's the only way you're going to know what it means. The second thing you have to do, you have to learn Arabic grammar. So when you read a sentence, you have to know the function of each word in the sentence. That this word is functioning as the subject of the sentence. And this word is functioning as the predicate. Meaning what you want to say about the subject. Or this word is functioning as the fa'il. The one who's doing the action of the verb. Or this word is a verb form. Or this word is a preposition. Okay, you have to know grammar. To know, is this word in this sentence, is it a subject, a predicate, a verb, a preposition, an adverb, what is it? Okay, so when you learn Arabic grammar, and you know each word, what is this function in the sentence, then you can understand the sentence. With just having the vocabulary words is not enough. Because maybe you know the meaning of each word in the sentence. But you take this word to be the subject of the sentence, and really it's the object of the verb. So that means you twist the whole meaning. This is what we will be learning, and we're going to start previewing that today, inshallah. We're going to start previewing that today, inshallah, bi-idhnillah. Okay, so these are the two things you need to know, the meaning of the words, vocabulary, and the grammatical structure of sentences, grammar, nahu. Yeah, it's a tall order, huh? Well, you know, mashallah. Some of us are tall people. Now, lesson 33, page 66. Back to Hamza again. Here we have Hamza written independently. What do we mean by that? We mean the Hamza, when it does not have a seat, it's not written on Aleph. It's not written on Wow. It's not written on Ya. It doesn't have a seat. So how does it sound when it doesn't have a seat? If Hamza doesn't have a seat, how do we pronounce it? How do we pronounce the Hamza if it does not have a seat? Huh? 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 A glottal stop. No, I'm saying, okay, what if it has a vowel? If the Hamza has a vowel, but it doesn't have a seat, how do we pronounce the Hamza? The sound of its vowel. That's our rule. Hamza is always pronounced like the sound of its vowel. So if it's pronounced like the sound of its vowel, it doesn't matter if it's written on top of Aleph. Because it's not pronounced according to the seat. It's pronounced according to what? The sound of its vowel. If it's written on wow, it doesn't matter. Because we're pronouncing according to the sound of its vowel. If it's written on ya, it doesn't matter. Because we're pronouncing the Hamza according to the sound of its vowel. So the same Hamza, it could be written with a fatta on top of an aleph, and a fatta on top of a wow, and a fatta on top of a ya, and a fatta with no seat. And it would be pronounced what? According to its vowel. The same way it's pronounced according to its vowel. Okay, so how do we pronounce the Hamza when it doesn't have a seat? Same way we pronounce it when it does have a seat. We only pronounce Hamza one way, according to the sound of his vowel. If it has no vowel, then we pronounce it as a glottal stop. Just a stop. That's it. But when it has a vowel, it's a stop, and we pronounce the sound of his vowel. No matter what seat it has, or it has no seat. It's pronounced exactly the same way. If it has a seat or no seat. Now. Yes, there are many rules that dictate whether or not it will have a seat or not, and which dictate which seat it will have. Very, very, very complex, precise, exact system of rules that determine the seat for Hamza. Yeah. We're not going to study that at this point. Not even in book one. Tayyib, lesson 33, page 66. Hamza, when it's written independently, meaning without a seat. How do we pronounce it? The same way we pronounce it if it has a seat. Line number one. Da'un. Sama'un. Aba'un. This word, aba'un, is written, the first letter is an aleph with a med, right? And this aleph with a med is equivalent to what? It's equivalent to a hamza with a fatta, followed by an aleph elongating it. Instead of writing two alephs, one as a seat for hamza, and one as elongation of the fatta, instead of writing two alephs, write one aleph with this little med. Okay, that represents what? It represents a hamza that has a fatta being elongated by an aleph. But we're only going to write one aleph. And we're going to write the med on it, and that's what it represents. So we pronounce this word with a two-count fatta, two-count med. And on the first letter, a, and then ba fatta aleph, ba hamza tanween. Aba'un. Aba'un is the plural of ab. What's the meaning of ab? Huh? Servant, not abd, ab. No, look. Abdun. Abdun is ayn badal. Abdun. I didn't say abdun. I said ab. Ab. Huh? Father. Abu. Ab. Ab means father. Huh? Ab. Aba. Fathers. Tayyib. Fourth word. Bina'un. Fina'un. Line two. Abna'un. Abna'un is the plural of ibn. What's the meaning of ibn? Son. Abna'un. Hawa'un. Be careful that we don't pronounce this like the other ha, right? Ha, like in haram. Halal. Huh? This one is the ha at the end of the alphabet. Ha, like huwa, Allahu, hawa'un, jaza'un, sufara'u. Notice that that word does not have a tanween. In book one, we will learn that this is a word that's mamnu' min al-sarf, on the wazn of fu'ala'u. Words on that wazn don't take tanween. Naam. It's plural, naam. It's the plural of safir. What is a safir? Huh? Huh? Almost. No. Safir is the one who represents his country in another country. Ambassador. Safir is an ambassador. Naam. And the Muslims are ambassadors, right? Of Islam, they say, Allahu A'lam. Sufara'u. Line three, Shifa'un. The Quran is a Shifa'un. What does that mean? Huh? A healing. Naam, a healing. Naam. It's a healing for the hearts. For kufr and shirk and nifaq. And sin, naam, shifa'un, su'un, shay'un, juz'un, juz'un. This word, juz, huh? If we pronounce it without the vowel, we say juz. Huh? Because the hamza doesn't have a vowel if we stop on it, right? What does this mean? Juz. Huh? A part. Naam. Like a juz of the Quran. You know, we say, did you read your juice today? Not juice, right? Juz. Un. Juz. Huh? Juz. Part. No, juz is singular. Plural is ajza. Yeah. This juz is a part. a part, a section. In this case, in reference to the Qur'an, it's the 30th of the Qur'an, is called the juz'un. Juz. Juz. It's not a juice. Juice is asir. Huh? Asir. Burtuqal. Tufah. Ainab. Juice. Huh? This is not a juice. We didn't drink no juice yet. We still fasting. But hopefully we read our juz. Huh? 30th juz, 30th part of the Qur'an.
But when you say juz, how does it differ?
Because the vowel on the end, if we stop on it, we're not going to pronounce the vowel. And normally if you say the word by itself, you don't pronounce this vowel. But I only pronounced it with the vowel alternately, so you can hear how it sounds when you pronounce it with the vowel. But normally if you just say the word by itself, you're not going to pronounce the vowel. Like you don't say kitabun. You say, give me that kitab. Kitab. But the word has tanween on it. But we're not going to pronounce the tanween if we stop on that word by itself. Okay? Same like you say al-imamu. It has a vowel on the end, but we don't pronounce the dhamma on the end. We just say al-imam. Al-imam. Where's the imam? We don't say, where's the imamu?
That's always the rule.
When you stop, you don't pronounce the vowel. Except in one case. Words that end with what? We have to pronounce something, the vowels, even if we stop on it. Words that end with what? Fattatain. Fatta, two fattas. It's always written with an aleph after, right? And the aleph is to tell you, if you stop on it, you got to pronounce it as though it's fatta aleph. Long vowel, you have to pronounce that. But other words, any other words in Arabic language that don't end with two fattas, when you stop on it, you don't pronounce the vowels. If it's a single vowel or a tanween, double vowel, you don't pronounce it if you stop on that word. You stop or pause, you don't pronounce the vowels in the end of a word. If you pronounce the word by itself, you don't pronounce the vowels in the end of the word. Okay, line 4, page 67, last line. Kuf'un. Tau'amun. Sa'ala. Sa'ala. Naam. Huh? Tawam is a twin. Tayyib. Lesson 34, page 68. The letter Ghain. Ra, ra, ra. Ra, ra, ra. Ri, ro. This is a difficult one, right? It's one of the letters of the throat, right? Six letters of the throat. Hamza wa ha, ayn wa ha, wa ra, ghain, ha. Ghain, ra, ra. Alright? Ra. This is one of the type of letters that we need to practice a lot, because this sound is strange to us and it requires some effort and it makes you tired if you keep reading words with this. Because hard. It's not easy to say it. Ra. Ra. It's like a gargling sound from the throat. Ra. 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 Okay? This letter Ghain looks just like the letter Ayn. But this letter has a nukta, dot, and ayn has no nukta. Okay, we're going to read. Lesson 34, page 68, line number 1. Pay attention to short and long vowels. Balaghun. Baghin. Bazagha. Dimaghun. Nazagha. Line 2. مرغا بلغا That should be a zay with fatta followed by ya with sukun. The vowel is not in the printed copy, but the first letter should have a fatta. Okay, it should be a diphthong. Fatta ya. Zayghun. Zayghun. Line 3. Ghanamun. Ghanamun. Ghadun. Ghabara. Ghadaun. Ghidaun. Notice these two words, the difference between them is the second letter of the first word is dal, and the second letter of the next word is dal. And the first word begins with a fatta, and the second word begins with a kasra. But they look the same. If there was no vowel in, you almost might mistake them for each other, except the difference between dal and thou. The first one, next to the last word, ghada'un. The next, last one, ghida'un. Type line number 4, page 69. Ghurabun. Ghasala. Ghasala means what? Ghusl, huh? What's a ghusl? A bath. Ghasala, to wash. Ghasala. Yaghsilu, wash, to wash something. Ghusl, taking a washing, a bath. Huh? Shower. Ghazalun. I'm sorry. Ghasala? No tanween. Nah, it's a verb. Ghasala. Verbs don't take tanween. They don't take alif lam or tanween. Ghasala. No tanween. Nah. Third word. Ghazalun. Ghafara. That's a verb. No tanween, right? That's a verb. Ghafara means what? Ghafara. Yaghfiru. Maghfiratan. No. Al-Ghafur. To forgive. Ghafara. To forgive. Allah is Al-Ghafur. Al-Ghaffar. The one who forgives a lot. Ghafara. To forgive. Line 5. Line 5. Ghafurun. Ghaffarun. Both of these are from the names of Allah. Al-Ghafur and Al-Ghaffar. Huh? Ghaffar, shed on the fa, fatta alif, elongation. Ghaffarun. Ghafurun. Ghaffarun. These are two of the names of Allah that we are in need of. When you ask Allah's forgiveness, say, Ya Ghafur. Ya Ghaffar. Forgive me. He's the one who forgives, right? Allahumma annaka afuun. You are pardoning. Tuhibbul afwa. You love to pardon. Fa'afu anni. So pardon me. By the way, this is the supplication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught to Aisha radiallahu anha. When she said to him, if I find Laylatul Qadr, what should I say? He said, say, Allahumma innaka afuun. تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ فَعْفُ عَنِّي. Three short sentences. اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ. Oh Allah, indeed you are the one who pardons. تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ. You love to pardon. Allah loves to pardon. You love to pardon. So pardon me. فَعْفُ عَنِّي. Huh? Allah is the one who pardons and He loves to pardon. So ask Him for pardon. نعم. نعم. Naam, inshallah, there. And we'll send it, inshallah, write it or something, naam. Taib, ghafara, line 5, we're on line 5, right? Third word, line 5. Ghawrun. Ghalin. Line 6. Ghalin means that it's, ghali means expensive. Expensive. Ghalin. Expensive. Rakhis. Inexpensive. Ghalin. Expensive. Line 6. Yaghsilu. That's the present tense form of the verb that we had in line 4. Second word, ghasala. This is the mudari. Yaghsilu. Both of them mean, ghasala means he washed. Yaghsilu, he is washing. Present tense. Yaghsilu. Line 6. Second word, maghfiratun. This is from the same ghafara, to forgive. Maghfiratun, that's forgiveness. Maghfiratun. Maghsalatun. That's from ghasala, to wash. Maghsala, the instrument that's used for washing. Huh? Like today, they used to have a scrub board before. That was a maghsala. But now today, I haven't seen a scrub board. Now they have, mashallah, the washing machines. Electric, right? Electric maghsala, kahrabaiya. Taib, number 7. Line 7. Maghribun. Maghribun. What's the meaning of maghrib? Huh? Maghrib, naam, sunset. Or the west, where the sun sets in the west, right? Maghrib. That's the name of a country, right? Al-Maghrib. Huh? Who knows what country is Al-Maghrib? Okay. Who knows what country is Al-Maghrib? MashaAllah, that's a good one. You got me good with that one. MashaAllah, I like that. That was good. Egypt, huh? Okay. 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 Egypt, huh? Maghrib is Egypt, huh? All right, good. Okay, line number 7. Al-Maghrib is Morocco, huh? And Egypt is Misr. Misr. Taib. Line number 7, second word. Balaghahu. Balaghahu. Bighayrihi. Bighayrihi. It's a diphthong. Bighayrihi. Okay, lesson number 35, page number 70. We're going back to Hamza one more time. And we're going to close with Hamza. Lesson 35 and 36, we're going to finish Hamza when it's written on top of Ya. This is Hamza when it's written on top of Ya. How do we pronounce the Hamza if it's written on top of Ya, but the vowel that it has with it is a fetta? Do we pronounce it as a fetta or Ya? Hamza, if it's written on top of a Ya. The letter Ya with two dots, it's written on top of a Ya. But the vowel that it has is a fetta. How do we pronounce it? Do we pronounce it as a diphthong, fetta Ya? No? Not quite, right? We pronounce it as a what? Huh? Just with fetta. We pronounce it like the sound of its vowel. We don't care about the seat, right? Look, this seat, this Ya right here, we say we don't care about this Ya. We don't care about this Wow. We don't care about this Aleph. Those seats, we don't care about them. We are only concerned about the one that's on the seat. If we have Mustafa sitting on a seat here, and Abdul Karim sitting on a seat here, and Abdul Qadir sitting on a seat here, we're not worried about the seat. We're about the one who's sitting on the seat, right? That's what we're concerned about. Not the seat. We worry about Mustafa. We don't care about the seat.
You did think you said that there are rules that dictate
which seat? Naam. Whether we sit on that kind of seat, or this kind of seat. Or that, look, everybody got a different seat here, right? We don't care about the seat, what kind of seat it is. But in Arabic language, there's a special seat for every occasion. Huh? There's a wedding, they have a seat. If it's a khutbah, it's a different seat. Huh? Nice? Right? Lesson 35, page 70. Line number 1. Budi'ah. Ah, even though it's written on top of Ya, we're pronouncing it like the sound of his vowel. Budi'a.
Budi'a.
Muli'a.
Muli'a.
Mali'un.
Mali'un.
There's a Ya that's elongating the kesra of the lam. And then there's another Ya that's a seat for Hamza. The second Ya we don't count, right? The first one does count. It's elongating the kesra. Mali'un. Ma-li-un.
Ma-li-un.
Here we're not elongating this kesra, right? Because that Ya that's following the kesra is not elongation. It's a seat for Hamza. That's why we're saying Ma-li short. Ma-li-un.
Ma-li-un.
Line number 2. Su-i-la.
Su-i-la.
La-in.
La-in.
Malaikatun. If we stop on it, we pronounce it how? Malaika. With ha. Malaika. With no vowel pronunciation. Huh? What's the meaning of malaika? Angels. Angels. The plural of malak. Malak. Malaika. Taib. Last word, line 2. Li'alla. Li el with a shadda on the lamb. Li ella. And a fatta elongated by aleph. Li ella. Line number 3. Af-idatun.
Af-idatun.
If we stop, af-ida. Hay-atun. If we stop, hay-a. Zibun. This is a Hamza with a Sukoon. How do we pronounce Hamza with Sukoon? Glottal stop. Just a stop. That's it. Dhi'bun. Sa'ilun. Type. Lesson number 36. Hamza again. With waw as a seat. How are we going to pronounce it? The same way we pronounce it when ya was a seat. The same way we pronounce it when aleph was a seat. The same way we pronounce it when it had no seat. We're going to pronounce it like the sound of the vowel. Okay. Lesson number 36. Page 71. Line number 1. Fu'adun. Su'alun. Yu'minu. Su'dudun. Line number 2. Long words. Pay attention to these words. Taib, first word. Mu'amaratun. The second letter is a waw as a seat for Hamza with a fatha elongated by aleph. Mu'amaratun. If we stop on it, we pronounce what? Mu'amarah. Mu'amarah. Huh? Second word. Yu'akhidhu. The second letter is a waw, that's a seat for Hamza with a fatha elongated by aleph, long vowel. Yu'akhidhu. If you didn't notice that was a seat for Hamza, you might elongate the dhamma, right? And say yu. But it's not you, it's yu. Akhidhu. Last word. Mu'akhadhatun. Mu'akhadhatun. Tayyib, and that's what we wanted to cover today. And this is, inshallah, the last time we're going to be reviewing this book. So now you're on your own, inshallah. Review it on your own. The waw is the seat for the hamza. Now, okay, just briefly, I want to introduce you to this here. This is really something from book number 1. If you have book 1, you don't really need this. But anyway, no problem. Is your wife here, Abdul Halim? Oh, I gave them some already. That's right. Never mind. It's okay. Oh, yeah. This is the first page of the first lesson of book number 1. And what I want you to do right now is just take a look at it. And notice the format of the book. Okay, the first thing you notice is that at the top of the page, there's some words, right? There's a number. That number is 1. That's the way you write the number 1 in Arabic. It's incumbent upon us to start learning the numbers if you didn't learn them already. This is 1. That's a 1 in Arabic, okay? Every time you see a number, go through the lesson, learn that number. Also, every letter, There's numbers on the page, too, on the bottom of the page, right? Yes, right. Start learning those numbers. Learn how to write them, It's written as a backward 7? What's written as a backward 7? How you mean? Let me see what he's looking at, though. What, this is like a backward 7, though. No, that's okay. That's different. I'm talking about the number on the top of the page. That one, that means this is number 1, first lesson, right? It's called the first lesson, Ad-Darsu Al-Awwalu. Okay, look at that word, Ad-Darsu Al-Awwalu. Al-Awwal means first. Ad-Dars Al-Awwal, the first lesson. Ad-Dars means lesson, Dars. Okay, Ad-Dars, the lesson. Al-Awwal, the first lesson. Can we go to the next lesson? You're going to see a Dars al-Thani. Learn those numbers. When you go to the third lesson, you're going to see a Dars al-Thalith. You have to learn them as you go along. That way, by the time we get to lesson 10, you know how to say the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and so on. Okay? Everything on the page has to be read. The top of the lesson, the number of the lesson, the Dars al-Awwal, when you do your lesson, you read that. And you learn the meaning of those words. the exercises in each lesson, the instructions, you have to learn the words of the exercises. The brothers in the last level 2 class and sisters, some of them did not learn the words in the instructions of the exercises. And that cripples you if you don't learn the words, the meaning of the exercises. In the book, they have a key in the back. They tell you what the exercise wants you to do. But we want you to learn the words that explain the exercise, because that's part of the lesson also. So I'm telling you now, so as we get started, inshallah, we're going to get off on a different foot. Okay, this lesson is dealing with the first, the word on the top of the page after Dars al-Awwal. Who can read that word that's from level 1 class? What's the first word? Yes. Hadha. This is a very important word. Hadha. Hadha means what? This or this is. This or this is. Okay, we're going to learn another word in this lesson. Ma, mim fatta alif. Ma, which means, it's a question word. Istifham means what? So if somebody said, ma hadha, what is this? Then you would say, hadha kitabun. This is a book. Hadha baytun. This is a house. Well, in this case, if somebody walked in here and said, ma hadha, we would say, hadha masjidun. Hadha masjid ikhwa. Huh? Tayyib? Okay, what if I walked in now and I said to you, ma hadha? Okay, you could say, hadha darsun, dars al-lugha al-arabiyya. Or you could say, hadha masjidun. Okay, you can say whatever you came to your mind, you think they're asking about. Okay? Ma hadha. If somebody hands you, put a book in front of you, say ma hadha. You say hadha kitabun. If they put a pen in front of you, they say ma hadha. You say hadha qalamun. If there's a chair and they say ma hadha, you say hadha kursiyun. Okay, these are the words that we're going to learn in the first lesson. Okay, I want you to start looking at them now, so when we start this book, you will already be somewhat familiar with this. Okay, you'll be a little bit ahead, inshallah. Yeah, the first few lessons, it's going to be a little bit, yani fi ta'ab. You're going to get tired a little bit, because it's going to be different. It's going to be a little bit harder than what we was doing before. But after you get past that, it's just like when you first start doing push-ups, right, Abdul Qadir? When you first go to the gym, you take a guy to the gym right now, right? He been doing no push-ups, hard for him, right? First couple of days, he's going to be tired. But after you work him out for about a week or two, he's going to be ready. Okay, so you're going to be ready, inshallah. After about a week or two, you're going to be ready. Okay, I don't have any books, but we'll try to get some books, maybe group, we'll try to buy some as a group, so maybe we'll see, you know, once we get ready to start, we'll see how many people want to join the class, how many people need a book, we'll try to get them together. That's probably better. Or maybe even now, maybe we could just buy 10 or 20 copies, we'll see if we get a discount, we will definitely get a discount, and then those who know they're going to join the class, they could get the book in advance, inshallah. Alright, we'll try to do that, and we'll look into it in the next few days, inshallah. Okay, let's look quickly from right to left. Under each picture, there are two words. One word is hadha, and the next word is the meaning of that picture. Okay, from right to left. Okay, somebody from level 1 class, not level 2 class, level 1 class, read the first picture. Hadha baytun. Excellent. Ahsant. Perfect. Hadha baytun means what? This is a house. Okay, somebody take the next one from level 1 class. Naam, Mustafa. Hadha masjidun. Meaning what? This is a masjid. Somebody take the next one from level 1 class. Level 1 class. Naam, Bilal. Hadha babun. This is a what? A door. Somebody take the next one from right to left. Naam, Jabir. هذا كتاب كسرة كاف كسرة تاء فتاء ألف كتاب. Somebody take the next one. No, the next one line. We're in the second line. Second word. Second line. This one here. Don't. No, you're looking at the wrong one. Second line, right underneath. The picture. Look, the first letter is Qaf. Fatta, Lam, Fatta, Meem, Tanween. What is it? Qalamun. Hatha Qalamun. 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 What is a Qalamun? A pen. Somebody else, take the next one. Naam. Be careful. Say that again. That's Meem Kesra. Fa with Sukoon. Ta Fatta Alif. Ha. Again? It's a Kesra. How do you pronounce Meem with Kesra? Fa with Sukoon, huh? Mif. Mif Ta. Long vowel. Mif Ta Hun. Huh? Mif Ta Hun. Is it good? Is it clear to everybody? That word? Miftahun. That is a word that people in level 2 class have a lot of trouble with. They're always pronouncing it maftuhun, some other hun, fatahun. It's miftahun. Maftuhun means what? Open. Miftahun means what? Key. There's a difference between miftah and maftuh. Miftah, maftuh. They sound like, right? They're both from fataha. They're both from the same root, but they have different meanings. Taib? Okay, line 3. Naam. Abdul Shakur. Hada maktabun. Meaning what? Table or desk. This is a table or a desk. Next one. Naam. Hada Sarirun. Huh? Seen fatta, ra kasra, ya with sukun, elongation, short vowel, long vowel. Sarirun. What's the sarirun? A bed. Last one. This is the most difficult word on the page. Mustafa got it. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hada kursiyun. But there's a mistake in the printing, right? It should be a shadda on the ya. Should be a shadda on the ya. Kursiyun is written with a shadda. That means it's two ya's. One ya is elongating the kasra, kursi. And the next ya is the consonant that has this vowel of its own, tanween. Kursiyun. Kursiyun. That means what? This is a chair. Okay, turn the page over. Second part of the lesson. The first part of the lesson is hadha. We're talking about things. Hadha kitabun, hadha baytun, hadha sarirun. Now we're having questions. Yes. Yes. If it was not a shadda, then it would be kursiyun. No, it would be kursiyun. It's not the ya. If it had a hamza, then they wouldn't be counted. But it is counted here. It's counted. The ya here is a consonant. It's a consonant, but if it's only one ya because it doesn't have shadda, then the kasra is not elongated. That ya is a consonant because whenever a ya, the letter ya, whenever it has a vowel, it's a consonant. If it doesn't have a vowel, then it can elongate kasra. But in this case, if it did not have a shadda, but it has a vowel, it won't elongate the kasra. It will be used as a consonant. But since it has a shadda, so there's two ya's, one of them has no vowel. That's elongating the kasra. And the second one is the consonant that has the vowel tanween. Yeah, because it has shadda, it's kursiyun. But if it had no shadda, it would be kursi, short, yun. Okay, because we said the shadda means the consonant is doubled. Two letters back to back, the first one must have sukoon. So the one that has sukoon is elongating the kasra. And the one that has the vowel is the consonant. Kursiyun. Because two ya's. The first one is elongating the kasra, kursi. The second one is a consonant with its vowel, yun. Kursiyun. Now. Okay, we're not going to go into that right now, but in any case, ya is normally written with two dots. And we said previously, in this class, level 1 class, we said that in the Mus'haf, whenever ya is at the end of the word, the two dots are not written for it. But it's still ya. If it's preceded by a kasra, it's ya. If it's preceded by a fatta, it's alif. Because alif elongates fatta. and ya elongates kasra. This is what we learned in our first lesson in level 1 class. Fatha is elongated by alif, and kasra is elongated by ya. That's basics. That's basics. Huh? Okay, as far as the second part of the lesson, ma hadha, I'm going to leave that for you, because we're almost at the end of our time, so I'm going to leave it for you to read on your own. Practice reading it, and practice reading the first part of the lesson, and start getting used to reading things other than in our little book. Let's begin to read Arabic, because I remember Abdul Shakur said, when he's reading from our book, he's just fine. But when he opens up something else, it seems like it's difficult. But today we opened up something else, and it didn't seem to be any difficulty. So the purpose of this lesson today is to let you know that it's not going to be that bad. It's going to be alright. Okay? It's going to be alright. But you got to work though. In this class you're going to have to work. Inshallah. But it's not going to be that bad. It's different. But you're going to get used to it the same way you got used to that.
So you would advise us to continue to review
the first book. But also start reading the Quran, the Mus'haf, so you practice reading Arabic. So you practice reading things that you're not familiar with, so you get used to reading.